So I was like, all right, well, Mirya's rolled out, Utena's rolled out. Who do I want to be? And I was like, if I was going to be someone, I want to be a motherfucking badass. Without Betrayals, which makes no sense in English, by Rayflower from the anime Uragiri wa Boku no Name o Shiteru. This is the 43rd episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, and this is Chiaki, and I am joined by two of our normal hosts.
Mitsugi, how is everybody today?
Hatake, what's up, guys?
And we have a special fancy schmancy pants guest, Felix Albuerne from Primetime Geek.
Thank you. That was a very nice introduction.
Fancy schmancy. Fancy schmancy,
indeed. That's the nicest thing anyone said to me all day.
We went on the Primetime Geek last night. It was episode... You guys are way past 100. You guys are at...
That was episode 128.
128, so we went on episode 128 of the Primetime Geek last night, and it was very, very fun. And we hope to do more stuff with them in the future, so... We will have a great episode with Felix today. You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, nerdnexus.com, and the addnetwork.net. If you search Anime Addicts Anonymous on any of those, it should come up with us. If it doesn't, try AAA Podcast. Our normal slew of announcements for this episode. We have new forum members. A lot of you guys are from SuperCon. Yay, SuperCon!
Yay!
So, welcome, Friendly Girl V, Cosmolicious, Grilled Cheese, Dalton Elliott, Anime Dork 88, and L. Lawitt.
Lawliot.
Sorry.
I gotta say, I'm a big fan of the grilled cheese. I'm a big fan of the grilled cheese.
Yeah.
We have some really great names on our forum.
Yeah, I believe it.
We have a grizzly bear and an anime cow.
But do you have a grizzly shark?
No.
Oh, dear. We should get one of those.
Yes. Grizzly Shark and Sea Bear. It's a wonderful comic that I can recommend to you. We reviewed it on our show last night. Just came out this past week.
Oh, cool.
All right, guys. That's a challenge. If you've been thinking about joining the forums, join them and be the Grizzly Shark. Mitsugi has a Japanese tutor, and he's going to say more about why I'm mentioning that.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to plug my Japanese tutor. I told her that I would. Her name's Kyoko. She has a website. The website is amiamigos.etsy.com. That's amiamigos.etsy.com. She sells like their cutest they're like animal faces and ears and like little things hanging down. And she charges like nothing for them.
And
it's ridiculous.
Even if you're not interested in the hats, you really should still go to that website because her kids are modeling them and they're so cute. Little Asian babies.
All right.
So,
I've upheld my end of the bargain.
Good quality hats there. Our blog got up, much to my stress over the past 2 or 3 days.
She pulled it off in just under 2 days.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
Blogging can be very stressful, especially when you're getting started.
Well, I didn't know any PHP, so that was kind of a big thing, too. Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to hear this and kind of call us and hire you for a job. Like, she can figure out PHP in 2 days.
I wouldn't say that, but We do have a blog up. You can reach it. It's in our top bar now of our webpage, or if you scroll down a little bit on the homepage, there's a blog and there's a little window that portals you to it. You can write comments on the posts. There's a shout box, so you can leave little comments. I mean, it's your standard blog, but it's all well and good. And I'm going to be working on some of the prettiness aspects, but functionally, it's pretty much up and running. And we have 5 bloggers that have already signed up to help us out with the blogging. 3 of them have posted already, and those are Macau, Canada Man, and AnimeDork88. So if you want to go see what they posted, you can rate their posts and write your comments. And really, if you're interested in being a blogger, you can contact us at hosts@aaapodcast.com. We're looking to get a few more bloggers. Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. There's 2 more. They haven't posted yet. Guys, get on that.
Don't leave them out.
I wouldn't leave them out. Stop the Humans and Frigimon Fanatic. So thank you 5 so much. Even the ones who haven't posted, we love you too.
Who knows?
By the time this comes out, they probably will have.
Yeah, but so, we do need more bloggers, so please. Please, please, please come blog for us if you'd like to.
It's pretty simple.
Love you forever.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, we're just saying anything that has to do with anime in some way or another is what we want you to blog about. But if you want more information, feel free to contact us on the forums or that email or our contact form on the website, and we're looking forward to hear from you. And final piece of announcements before we get into the episode is we, being Mitsugi and myself, Toy Story 3 last night.
Yes, we did, and it was very good, although it was a lot more adult than I expected it to be for a Toy Story movie. It was dark.
I remember, I looked to Mitsuki at one point and I went, how can a movie about toys end up being so epic?
that scene when they're in the incinerator?
Yes.
Yep, and they're
spoiler
all preparing.
Alert.
Yeah. Well, we're not saying what happens in the incinerator. We're just saying that there's that moment where you're like, wow, really? They're going to do this because you don't know how that's going to resolve itself. It was remarkable. It had so much heart. I love that movie. It's probably the best one in the series.
I don't know how they keep making good sequels, because normally it's like the first one's the best and then they kind of get worse. I really think they just keep getting better.
They do, because the second one was really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
All that movie needed was like 5 swear words, and you could have argued PG-13.
I think so. I think you're right.
But anyways, we are not reviewing Toy Story 3, but we do want to mention Totoro in Toy Story 3.
Totoro, I know everyone heard about Mr. Prickle Pants on TV and stuff, but I'm sorry, he got about half the face time that Totoro got in that movie.
And Totoro does his characteristic big Totoro grin.
It was awesome. And I was so thankful that they didn't have him talking like the rest of the toys, because let's face it, Totoro doesn't talk.
It would have been so wrong if he
just grunts.
He makes animal noises. And rides on a top.
As opposed to Mr. Prickle Pants, who they gave Timothy Dalton's voice to. You know, that's pretty amazing. You got a former Bond doing Mr. Prickle Pants.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yep, I think so.
I think it fit. So, yes, go see Toy Story 3. Not only is it a really good movie, but Totoro is, like, all through it. Mitsugi and I had a freak out in the movie theater, much to the surprise of everyone else.
And because he's with, well, that's a spoiler, but I think he will be in the 4th Toy Story movie also for certain reasons.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I do too.
Unless they throw Totoro out, which I don't think Miyazaki would like that too much.
I think the relationship between Pixar and Ghibli would go from awesome to kind of less awesome.
All of John Lasseter's ass kissing would go to waste.
And we mean ass kissing. So, without further ado, on this episode today, we're going to talk with Felix about his podcast, and we're going to spotlight him.
Yeah, this is the part of the podcast that you can kind of fast forward over.
Never!
And then we're going to talk about, if we could be any anime character, who would we want to be, and who would we hate to be? So that'll be a fun conversation. And then we're going to do some reviews from last season. We're going to get them done.
Finally, they're getting finished.
We're going to do Ikitosen, Extreme Executor, Durarara, and Angel Beats, which I stayed up until 3 a.m. last night power watching.
Awesome.
Yay.
Very impressive.
I thought it was time we had a fun episode, because we haven't had like a goof-off episode in a while. And let's face it, people like those.
Yeah, they do.
Suffocating people with too much seriousness lately.
I'm glad to be a part of the Goof Off episode then. Get another beer.
We're glad to have you.
No, I'm fine. Okay. I'm fine. Because I have another one, and then I'll start slurring. I'll be completely incomprehensible, and that's no good for
you
podcasts.
You haven't listened to enough of our hentai episodes.
Yeah. Oh.
Roko takes down a 40 every time.
And then,
sweet.
And then
illicit sexual acts. Yeah. In the process.
It's
wow.
Hentai episodes. What's above, guys? Go
They're
ahead.
Crazy.
The last hentai episode was probably the most listened to one we've ever had, and wow. I don't even remember what it was about.
That's probably for the best.
It's kind of how they go.
Oh my god.
So, Felix.
Yes.
Do you want to take a second and talk about who you are, what Primetime Geek is, you know, do that fancy plug thing?
Oh, I suppose I should. Primetime Geek is a weekly topics-based program, and we cover news, reviews, and opinions from throughout the geek realm, or so we claim. We're trying to branch out into other areas that, quite frankly, I'm ill-equipped to handle myself, which is why I reached out to you guys. We started off in January of 2009. Originally, we were a podcast, a recorded podcast called Geek Weekly. And we weren't getting very many listeners. I was recording it at CSB School of Broadcasting Studios. And one of my fellow graduates was broadcasting a sports-based program on the SoMaCal Media Network, which is based in Altamont. And I pitched the idea for the show to him. It's a two-hour show where we present the news, the headlines of the week, and we review comic books and we review movies and video games and whatnot. They already had kind of a geek show, they still do, called Just Push Play, but they decided to bring me on anyway, and we've been going strong ever since. We have a number of interesting segments that are now monthly. We have a segment called Eat More Geek, which we have monthly, and my friend James Green, who lives up in New York, he corresponds for that segment for us. And that's basically talking about really, really gross foods or foods that we associate with geek activities. Like one thing we talked about on one particular segment was, what's the best food to order for a night when you know you're going to be playing D&D until 4 in the morning, or you're going to be doing a Lord of the Rings marathon all day long, or these sorts of things, or we'll profile the latest bizarre fast food concoction like the Double Down sandwich from KFC. Our next segment, James is actually going to be down from New York in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about the new burger at Friendly's that they're introducing, which is called the Grilled Cheese Burger Melt.
Oh no, I saw that.
You saw that? Yes.
I haven't seen it.
It is a burger where they replace the bun with two grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh my god!
I know about this because on Yahoo, Yahoo does that, like, the worst food you can eat every once in a while? It was like, I think it might have been, it was in the top three, I think, of the worst sandwiches.
But, you know, that's all depends on how you look at it, because if you compare the nutritional facts of that burger versus one of their standard burgers, it only has maybe 30 more grams of fat.
Only 30?
It actually brings the carb count down. You know, it's not, you're going to eat a burger at Friendly's, you might as well go all the way and have the grilled cheese sandwich.
If you're going to have a stroke either way, you might as well really do yourself in.
If you're going to go with a smile. You know, I mean, this is just the way it is. So we have Eat More Geek. We do TV reviews, and throughout the fall TV season, we cover shows like Smallville. We covered Heroes, now it's dead. We covered 24, now it's dead. Covered Flash Forward, now it's dead.
Wait, hold on.
If you
cover a show, does it die?
It seemed like that this past season. But now that the summer's rolled around, we're picking up some new shows. We're reviewing Merlin on Sci-Fi Channel. We're reviewing Burn Notice, Leverage.
Okay.
Some of the shows that Doctor Who is definitely sci-fi based, but some of the other shows we're covering are not sci-fi based.
Right.
We celebrate geekdom. We celebrate being passionate about something, and whether it's TV or movies or comics. You know, long story short, too late. That's what we're all about.
I would think doing a podcast about all things geek, because if someone asked me to list that which is all things geek,
mm-hmm.
it would probably take me like an entire day just to sit and really think of that list. And when we were listening to your show last night, I mean, you covered everything from like Tolkien to like comic books to, I mean, everything. How do you, I mean, there's no way that you can cover everything. I don't think it's physically possible. So how do you narrow it down but still not sacrifice quality?
Well, you're right that there is no way in all heck that that I can do everything, which is a reason why I've outsourced a lot of it. Or for video, for Eat More Geek, I told you about James. For video games, we have my friend Mad Mario, who's out in Clearwater. And how do we do it? We keep to a certain core of areas that we hit every single week, and then you know we will bring in other guest hosts and we will venture into other realms when it really is a big blip on the radar. For example, we don't do video game reviews regularly because, well, Mario has a life. And he has a wife that doesn't particularly care for him spending part of his Saturday night on the phone talking to my show. And me personally, I have a Gamefly account. I rent games, and they sit on top of my PS3 for weeks and months on end. And so, you know, it's just, it is something that we don't do all the time, but E3 was just last week. And so much news came out of E3 motion controllers for different systems and all this great material. So absolutely, that's something we're going to cover. And when conventions roll around, we make it a point to cover that. And so when something big comes along, we make a point to spend a lot of time on it and give it the attention that it's due. But we don't – it's a big boast to say all things geek. That's how we sell people. And then they listen, and we hopefully we have enough – personality that we keep them listening, even though they realize, oh yeah, this isn't actually, there's nothing about stamp collecting in this show at all. But you know what? I'm going to keep listening anyway because I like that TV show, right. You know, or I actually read that comic book. So.
Well, it sounds like you guys mix it up a lot, and that's pretty good, I think. Keeps things fresh.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. What are some of the challenges? You said you started out as a podcast, and then you switched to a live show. What are some of the challenges of doing a live show versus a podcast? Because obviously we're on the podcaster side ourselves.
I would say the most important thing is that you can't, you know, I can't do, this is episode 127, 128. Let me restart, you know, I can't do that. And so there is a lot of improv. It does require a bit more prep, and I do kind of block things out, and I do keep some very, you know, spare notes, and we have a whiteboard in our studio, and I write everything out, especially if I have guest hosts in.
Yeah.
I had, you met them last night, I had Mark and Ryan from the Talk Nerdy Show, which is another geek podcast, talknerdyshow.com. They would kill me if I didn't plug them on somebody else's show. but we got to take care of one another, right?
Yeah.
And so you just have to keep going. I think that's the biggest challenge is you have to keep going no matter what. And that's never more challenging than when it's just me in the studio, which is half the time when I'm by myself and I'm on the mic and I'm going for 2 hours. And I just think about it the way that, you know, I'm a part-time college professor and that feels like I'm talking to myself half the time too. So, you know, it's something I'm familiar with.
You do record your live show though and post it as a podcast.
That's
right?
Yes.
So how do you find differences in response then from the live show you do or from the podcast? Are they equal or do you find you get different kinds of listeners or do you have any feedback whatsoever?
Our live show on average draws about 10 to 12 listeners a week.
Okay.
We don't have a big live listener. It's almost like a fun thing we do.
Right.
It's not integral to our audience. Our downloads are where our listeners are, and we know that. There's no question about it. The podcast is higher in quality because we can remove things like coughs and throat clearings and long pauses of dead silence, you know, when, oh, I can't find that sounder, you know. And so we can clean those things up. We can add more music. Like, for example, on last night's show, and which will be posted on Tuesday morning, during the portion where we're talking to you guys and we happen to start talking about Gundam Wing, hey, look that. I can put a music bed of Rhythm and Motion, you know, which was the theme song from the last, 10 episodes of Gundam
Wing. I love Rhythm and Motion.
Add that on there. And when we're talking about Cowboy Bebop, I can add that little music bed in there. So it's just a few more bells and whistles
right. That
we can add. And so it adds to the production quality. And so I think people in general are – happier to download the podcast. Maybe if the sound quality wasn't as great on the podcast, I'd get more live listeners. I don't know, but I don't want to go that route.
Yeah. Well, the live show is very fun, so I can see why you would do that if for no other reason than just a weekend. Speaking about you personally, anime goes hand in hand with a lot of other nerd aspects. I don't think one hardcore anime fan is not interested in any other nerdy thing.
Mm-hmm.
What areas of nerddom, let's say, are you personally a king with? What do you follow?
Comic books. I'm a big Marvel, and I'm more of a DC person than Marvel. People ask me who my favorite characters are because I read comics so avidly, and I'm a fan of the Boy Scouts. I must say I'm a Superman fan. I'm a Captain America guy. I am probably the only person on this planet who actually likes Scott Summers, you know, Cyclops, because everybody thinks he's a stiff, he's a bore, and he's a jerk because he cheated on Jean Grey so many times. But, you know, I get him. You know, and he's the man with the plan, and those are the kinds of characters that I follow, so that I kind of identify with in one way or another, or try to aspire to be. If you're gonna have a role model, if you're gonna have somebody whose values you look up to and whose life you want to pattern yours on, why the hell not Superman, Clark Kent? You know, and you'll never get there, but as long as you keep trying, then you're doing something good. So comic books are big with me. I do love me video games when I can sit down and play them and not have this little voice in the back of my head telling me, okay, you haven't swept the apartment, you haven't done the dishes, you haven't planned for your classes this week. And when I can do that, when I can relax, then yeah, I love video games. And I love talking about movies. I spent 6 years working for a certain video rental chain, which is going the way of the dinosaur, and used to be clad in blue and gold. I won't mention the name, but I worked there for the longest time. And even though closing that store at midnight, you know, and being there until 1 a.m. cleaning kind of stank, everything else about that job was wonderful. Everything about it, 'cause like they paid me to talk about movies.
Yeah.
So
kind of how I feel about my job.
So those are really my realms of geekdom. Also TV, obviously. I love following primetime dramas. I can't get into sitcoms for whatever reason. I cannot make myself devote time. Like The Big Bang Theory is supposedly this wonderful, wonderfully geekalicious show that has references to comic books and video games every single week, and Star Trek every single week, and I can't get into it. I cannot sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
It's got to be – I will watch marathons of Law & Order Criminal Intent on USA Network all day long on Mondays and then Special Victims Unit on Tuesdays, but I can't sit down and watch a single new episode of The Big Bang Theory, or for whatever reason. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
But so.
I'm just curious because you said you were a – did you say Marvel or DC? I'm sorry.
Both.
Both? Okay.
Both. But more DC.
All right. Well, this is on the Marvel side of things, but were you familiar with the Wolverine anime that's been...
I knew it was coming. I knew it was being made. I never saw it.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to need to show you that.
Okay.
You might cry a little.
You will die a little inside, but you need to see it. So, that aside.
Well, I died a little inside watching the last Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie. Now,
so you're going to die like three seconds in.
This is much worse.
Okay.
I was just curious if you'd seen it. Anyways, that aside.
All right, two words. Vampire mullet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to need that next beer soon. Okay.
You're going to need much more than a beer, dude.
So one more question I think we have time for.
Okay.
And you said you were a comic book person and just geek things in general. I don't think it's any kind of big secret that anime faces a lot of stigma by the world at large. Do you think that anything that you follow or that your podcast in particular, being a all-encompassing geek podcast, faces from a similar negative stigma, or do you think it is better received, let's say, by a general audience because there's video games or TV shows wrapped in?
No. I think that because we spend as much time as we do talking about comic books and comic book characters, even though comic books are getting closer to the mainstream, with the success of the Marvel films and the Marvel film franchises. I think there is still the idea that if they haven't seen me do my show, if they haven't seen a live webcast, or they haven't met me at a convention, I'm always thinking that people are going to listen to my show for the first time and think I'm doing it from my mother's basement. You know, I'm somebody, you know, who I don't go out during the day because I'm going to melt, you know, and these sorts of things. There is that stereotype.
Yeah.
That is still very, very prevalent. And unfortunately, you go to certain comic book stores, you go to certain conventions, and that stereotype is perpetuated. You go to, I hate to say this, I really, because I'm a huge Star Trek fan, but there was one particular Star Trek fan group that I saw at Florida SuperCon that in my mind typified why we have the negative, the stigma that we have, why we are all stereotyped, we're all lumped in. I mean, they couldn't communicate. I'm asking questions, and I'm very interested in the group. What do you guys do in the community? What do you guys do? And they couldn't answer me aside from we watch movies together, you know, and they had these great props, and they were in uniform, but they couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that, yeah, I think people would be very uncomfortable around people who are quote-unquote normal. What is that? Normal is relative, right? But I walked away feeling like I felt horrible thinking it, but I'm like, that's what everyone else thinks we're all like.
Yeah.
Whether we're comic book fans, whether we're anime fans, whether we are video game fans or collectible card game players, if we're Magic players, if we're role-playing game people, we all have that same, the people pigeonhole us all like that, you know, and so, no, I think we all suffer from that stigma. And maybe people picture it differently. I mean, certainly in their minds, if you know a little bit more, then you don't picture an anime fan the same way that you picture a comic book fan or a role-playing geek. You know, a role-playing geek, you imagine he's carrying a bag of Cheetos and a bottle of Mountain Dew, you know, and he's got his dice in a Crown Royal bag, you know, hanging out of his pocket, and he's got his D&D books in his bag or whatever. And or a comic book geek, he's you know, he's wearing a Green Lantern T-shirt, walking around, and he's got his books and he's getting them signed. Or an anime person, they're in costume. The visual is different. The level of stigma is not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good way to word it. I think we're probably at about time for the interview, though I would love to talk with you more. Oh, wait, you're going to be on the rest of the podcast. Yay!
I was hoping you weren't going to kick me out after all that, so he's throwing me out the window there.
But one more time, for the listeners who, after this interview, are like, oh my god, Primetime Geek sounds awesome because I love comic books and this show doesn't talk about comic books. Damn right we don't. Because we don't know anything about comic books. But if you want to listen to comic books, where can you find Primetime Geek?
Our website is primetimegeek.com, and we are part of the SoMaCal Media Network. So I do recommend checking out the other shows, which are much more mainstream, but also much more along the lines of, SoMaCal is the greatest internet radio show ever. And the reason why we know that is if you search in Google, it says, you search under greatest internet radio show ever, SoMaCal comes up. But they're much more of a topic-based show on everything, you know, week's events and whatnot. And they're a comedy show. They have a lot of fun, and they have 40,000 downloads a month, and they've been around for 3 years. It's an amazing show. So we're part of that network. You can find us at somacal.net, our message board, where we have our forums and our polls and everything. It's at somacal.net/forum. And we're also on Facebook, and just search for Primetime Geek on Facebook. And we put notifications on the Facebook fan page anytime we post a new podcast or anytime there is a news story about video games or toys or any of the things that we cover that is worthy of attention, and we'll start conversation. We'll post any link to that on the Facebook fan page. So we're always trying to freshen up the content there. But yeah, there are lots of places to find us, and we're always looking for other places to get new listeners from. So you guys mentioned a couple last night during the interview that I had to check out during the week just to get the podcast in other places. So I'm learning from you guys too.
Well, we're great to have partnered, I guess one could say, with you. So Yes, that was our interview with Felix, and we're going to take a short anime news break, and then we're going to come back and talk about anime characters we would and would not to be. So, would and would not want to be in just a few minutes. So, hang in there, and we'll see you back in a few.
Hello everybody, it's time for your first dosage of anime news. First up, this week, TV Tokyo has finally announced the new Pokemon series. The television anime series will be called Pocket Monsters Best Wishes, and this series will launch in the fall after the current series, which is called Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. The story of this new series is set in a land called Ishu, where a new journey will unfold. That's pretty much all we know for now, but more details will be provided during the showing of Diamond and Pearl and on the anime franchise's homepage, so you can go check it out there. Also, Nintendo has announced that it will release two new Pokemon games, Pokemon Black and White, which will both release in the fall. Next up, I'm sure that many of you remember a while back when we were discussing the Evangelion race car, GT300. Well, it seems that Runa Entertainment, the company that entered that race car, has now created a road racing motorcycle themed after Evangelion. The Evangelion RT01 Trickstar Racing Team has decorated a Kawasaki ZX10R superbike with the colors of Eva Unit 1 from the television series. This bike will be used to compete in the Coca-Cola Zero Suzuka 8-hour endurance road race in the third race in the 2010 QTEL FIM World Endurance Championship Series. These will occur from July 22nd to July 25th. It's just amazing the kinds of things that Evangelion gets promotions for. Well, it's that time of year again. Otakon 2010 is going to be occurring starting July 30th. And the convention is starting to announce some of its big guests. First up, they have announced that Hiroshi Koujina, the animator that directed Rainbow Nisharokubo no Shichinin, the recent television series, will be a guest of honor at the convention. And also, just like last year, Otakon is announcing that Madhouse Studio founder and producer Masao Maruyama will attend Otakon as a returning guest. Last year, Maruyama put on a panel that did many things, including announced several animes in the United States, including Summer Wars. So for those of you that are planning on attending Otakon 2010, make sure that you stop by the panel that Maruyama will be putting on and say hi to him. And the final piece of news in this first anime news segment, it seems that there are some unhappy merchants at Anime Expo this year. A group of merchants have been lobbying the convention to reverse changes that the convention center in Los Angeles made in the move-in policy of its exhibit hall. The issue mostly revolves around the cost of moving goods in and out of the convention, and some merchants say that it will be impossible for them to actually turn a profit at the convention this year if the cost structure is not changed. The fee is called drayage, and it's basically the cost of moving items from the shipping dock outside of the convention center to an actual exhibition booth inside. According to the director of the convention's parent organization, last year the cartload service for moving goods cost about 16 cents per pound for up to 1,600 pounds. However, this year, the services have changed, and exhibitors are now allowed to bring in up to 3 cartloads of items, but the fees have raised to 22 cents per pound. So this is a big issue for Anime Expo, and we'll see how it unfolds in the future. That's it for your first load of anime news, and now we're going to get back to the show.
And we're back. That was a great news break.
Thank you. It always is.
I know.
It was awesome.
It did it for me.
Do you guys need a cigarette? Because I'm pretty sure I do.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So now we're going to talk about anime characters we want to be, and then we're going to talk about anime characters we do not want to be. So I think, Mitsugi, you can go first and take it away.
All right, so I had to give this one some thought. I was looking through the list of all the animes I'd seen on Anime News Network, which is where I record them, and not my anime list, because my anime list makes you enter them one at a time, and it would take me 5 weeks.
Ooh.
It took forever, and I originally had stopped on Isaac from Bacano, which is kind of ironic because I just cosplayed that. But because Isaac's immortal.
And he has another immortal punani.
He has immortal hot punani who hangs out and does crazy shit with him all the time. It's nice. And then I was working my way down the list, and I was like, wait, I found a better one. So I'm picking Space Pirate Cobra for several reasons. First of all, do you remember Cobra?
I saw it in a theater, and it wasn't translated. It was awesome. Here in the States, everybody was like, why aren't there even subtitles here? Why are we watching this? It's awesome.
You don't even need him to get it. Cobra has, first of all, he has like the most incredible adventures ever. He's a space pirate, so he just goes around doing like dangerous, you know, piratey things. And, you know, he never really has a dull day in his whole life. So he's kind of like Isaac in that regard, I feel like. But he's also like the chick magnet. And as the theme song says, he's the best lover and he defines cool. And he gets, there's literally two new blonde chicks, like, hanging on him every episode, so that's good. And he's immortal also, so he basically has already one-upped Isaac. But on top of that, he has a laser gun as his left arm, which he gets halfway through, like, the saga. I don't know if you had a movie you saw had that, if he had that at that point.
I think so.
So, yeah, it's the psycho gun, as they call it. But his arm is, like, fully usable when he has it, like, attached, so he can just kind of pull it off and fire the laser gun and kill people.
Hmm.
And, Chiagi says Cobra's pretty sexy, too, so...
You're forgetting the most important part, though, about Cobra.
What is that?
His cigar is his disguise.
Oh, yeah, the cigar is the disguise, it's true. Yeah.
So, I'm thinking to myself, because you say he's a space pirate, and that's just cool, and the quintessential space pirate in my mind is Captain Harlock. And I'm just... But I'm thinking, Harlock is so depressed all the time. He's so sad. And this guy just sounds like a lot of fun to be around.
Cobra's always getting ass.
See?
Like...
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy.
Like, what was that line that he was talking to with the girl where she's like, who are you? And he was just like, do you want to dance?
He was like... You know, he's like,
how dare
you... And then those people stole the $3 million. That's a damn lie. It was $4.5 million. So yeah, there's the psycho guy. He's kind of getting ready to. And he in the actual.
What anime, I remember is the sideburns. Those are some crazy, awesome sideburns.
He never takes a cigar out of his mouth, and the cigar can explode. He can like push the end of it, and it blows up.
Wait, if he never takes a cigar out?
No. He'll take it off and like throw it or plant it someplace.
But then he has a new cigar, a backup.
Grows out of his like beard, or he doesn't have a beard, but if he has,
it grows out of the sideburns.
Yes.
What is it with you and sideburns?
Hatsuke, who would you want to be?
Oh God! All right. Well, mine's not nearly as cool as that.
Oh come!
I feel like no. Well, I actually put a lot of thought into this one because, like, if I had to just randomly transform into somebody, I wouldn't want it to be, like, a huge jump from, like, the way that I live now, because I wouldn't know how to adjust. So I wouldn't want to be this, like, badass hero or whatever, or, like, constantly be fighting shit. So I picked Natsumi Hinata from Sergeant Frog, because she's completely normal. And she's really hot.
A normal anime character?
Okay, maybe not completely normal, but she's fairly normal.
Isn't that kind of oxymoronical? You know, like normal?
Yeah, basically. So, like, Natsumi, I love her to death. She's like an older high school student. She deals with unrequited love, even though we know the guy totally wants her. And she lives with a quirky younger brother and a sexy mom, well, as well as a platoon of space frogs bent on conquering Earth. So I guess she's not completely normal.
Yeah, you know, I just typed in Natsumi Hinata and Sergeant Frog in Google because I wanted to see who this character
Isn't
was.
She a
so much porn.
Porn everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of porn on her that kind of disturbs me. So she's underage.
Want to be a completely normal girl who's secretly a porn star? Hot
she's take. Not a porn star.
What are you not telling me?
Well, that's not far from the reality, really.
Oh.
Just kidding. You know what? Don't tell that to the fanboys. That was a joke.
I can refer you to my friends over at Cosplay Deviants if you want.
Oh, you have friends in Cosplay Deviants. That's cute. That's okay. I'm good.
Okay. No problem.
But yeah, so I love Natsumi. I can relate to her. But she also has a lot of qualities I'd like to have, like her hair, because it's beautiful and pink. But yeah, I was slightly conflicted because I also wouldn't mind being one of the guys from Big Windup, but that's only so I could spy on Hanai in the locker room every day.
Yeah, well, you know, Hanai has got a bromance going on.
Shut up.
What's the pitcher's name? Mihashi.
Mihashi.
Bromance.
Can I just be him?
Sky love, that's all it is. Sky love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Suddenly, it's a musical episode.
Scrubs.
We keep interrupting you, Hatsuki. I'm sorry. Go
it's
on.
It's cool. No, I really don't have much to say other than I would love to spy on Hanai every day.
Awesome. Well, all right. I also put a lot of thought into mine. And the first one I thought of was Miria. Because I did just cosplay her. And for very similar reasons that Mitsugi mentioned. She's immortal. She has someone who's really cute, who they're obviously really, like, in love with each other and really good for each other to hang out with and do crazy shit all the time. But then I decided Miria's really stupid. And I really don't want to be an idiot for forever, quite literally. So then the next person I thought of was Utena from Revolutionary Girl Utena. But then I decided I'd have to pick someone else because I think if the listeners hear me talk about Utena anything one more time, they'll probably want to shoot me in the face.
I will.
Yeah.
They will kill you in the face.
I'll dump my milk on you.
I know. Ew. That sounds... Okay.
Did I suddenly stumble into the hentai episode? Or no, never mind.
How is dumping milk on someone hentai?
Well, it's chocolate.
It can be.
Food play.
This is not chocolate.
Food play.
Mocha. Chocolate. Fine.
Okay. Anyway. But, so I was like, you know, while I would love to be anyone from Utena, almost anyone. No, I would love to be Utena. That's not going to be my pick because I refuse to pick something from Utena. So I was like, all right, well, Miria's rolled out, Utena's rolled out. Who do I want to be? And I was like, if I was going to be someone, I want to be a motherfucking badass. So I picked Kamina from Gurren Lagann.
Spoiler, you die. Good job.
Because I'm like, the thing is that I decided is it's like, he existed for 8 episodes. It was 8, right?
It was 8.
Yeah, he existed for 8 episodes, and that's spoiler!
It felt like 100.
But,
oh, shut up.
That's so...
How did someone who existed for only less than half of the series capture the hearts of, like, everyone? And he gets all the ladies. So,
yeah, he does.
Like,
hello.
I'm like, if I want to be someone truly epic, I'll be Kamina. Because Kamina's so epic that it's like the second season of Gurren Lagann, he's going to come back to life. The second season, that doesn't exist, but he would. So that would be who I would want to be. And then it's like, if I get bored of being Kamina, spoiler alert, he dies. So I could just reincarnate into someone else after that. That's my logic.
That was depressing. Also, I get to be your mistress, so...
Pound chicka bow wow! That was the real reason
Cute
behind it.
Groove.
Yes. Do you have one, an anime character you would want to be, Felix?
I saw this on the agenda, and I did put some thought into it as well. Now, forgive me, some of these are going to be rather old school, because that's the anime that I know. If you had asked me that question 20 years ago, then my answer would have been Hikaru Ichijo, or Rick Hunter, as he's known in Robotech, or Macross. And not because he's a badass, not because he's particularly cool, he was awkward around girls, and he was a very sensitive soul, but he was a truly gifted pilot. And one of the things that I've always wanted to do since I was a little kid was fly, and then I found out that my eyesight is terrible, so I'll never fly anything, and that's probably a good thing. But I've always, it's why comic book characters that fly always appeal to me. Someone like him, it was somebody that, I got him on an emotional level. I mean, Also, being the geek that I was in high school, you pining for the girl you'll never have is kind of par for the course. That's what you do. And so he spent 3/4 of that series pining after Lin-Min May. So, okay, yeah, I get that. And meanwhile, the woman that he's meant to be with is right there in front of him, yelling at him a lot. But, you know, that's something that I got on an emotional level. So that was 20 years ago. Now I'm thinking about today. And one of the characters I thought of but eventually abandoned was Duke Togo from GoGo 13 because, you know, he's the Japanese version of James Bond. But in the end, I abandoned him because he doesn't talk. He never talks. He just kind of walks around stoically. And even when he's having sex, he's stoic. You know, he doesn't make noise. So on the one hand, that's pretty awesome because, you know, the women apparently love what he does, but he's just sort of there. Okay. So, but on the other hand, he's unflappable. He is the modern day samurai, you know, and so I get that. But in the end, the character that I went with finally was Zex Marquise.
Oh my God.
I could hug you.
Girl.
Yeah. Or Miyado, however you want to refer to him. he's got the cool mask. And he has the best uniform ever. People ask me sometimes, you know, what cosplay would you ever want to do? I want that uniform, the red waistcoat, you know, with the tails and the mask and the sword, the whole Victorian uniform. Torres's uniform is cool too, and I look better in blue than I do in red, but still, it has to be Zex.
Can I give my fangirl cry again?
Can I also interrupt before we move on to something else, because I have to tell a story about Zex.
Oh, okay.
Go for it.
Well, I met his voice actor at MetroCon, and I've been a huge fan of Gundam Wing for a very long time, and of course Zex has a really attractive voice. And so Brian Drummond, who is his voice, he was talking to somebody else, like, after a panel, and I was around, just kind of hanging out, you know, talking to everyone. And I, like, looked over when he was doing his Zex voice for somebody, and I was like, oh, don't do that, you're going to make my heart stop. And he, like, looks over and smirks, puts his arm around me, and goes, oh, don't do that, I'll have to tell Noin. And, yeah.
That's
like, I am never going to forget that, and he was laughing very hard at my strawberry face.
Zex is going to be my first crossplay.
Oh.
Straighten my hair, and if I put the mask on, it'll cut a lot of the feminine features away.
You
could pull it off.
Yeah.
I might never let go of you.
A lot better than I could. You know, because the white blonde wig with my skin tone, just no. Just all sorts of bad. I loved his character, and I have to say that he has one of the most badass entrances ever in the Endless Waltz.
Yes.
When he walks into Lady Un's office, and he just says, "I want to be called Preventer Wind," and then when he intercepts the fleet coming down, and he's in Tall Geese 3, and he's just taking ships apart, and he shows up on the screen, and my name is, I'm Preventer Wind, you're not going anywhere. And it's just, yeah, he's a badass. So, yeah, he was on the wrong side of it, and Hito has his moments, too. And Hito actually is a lot more like the Rick Hunter stereotype.
I can't tolerate Hito because he ends up with Relina Peace.
I know, I was just going to say
He doesn't end up with Relina. He keeps leaving her. He keeps going away.
He keeps coming back.
You know, and Duel makes fun of him for it, you know, and this is like, you know, those do anything for the one we love, and Hito just gives him a dirty look. I like the character, but I liked Zex a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And Tall Geese 3 is my favorite Gundam in that series. Because it took the best parts of Epion and then added it to Tall Geese.
Yeah.
And just created this machine of death. I loved it. Loved it. So.
Awesome.
That is my childhood right there, Gundam Wing.
Yeah, me too. So now we're going to go back through, and we're going to name possibly the more fun half of this, anime characters we would never, ever, oh my god, don't want to be.
Okay, so I have kind of like two written down, and I was going to pick Keitaro from Love Hina. Because he basically is the most pathetic excuse for a man I've ever seen. He's even worse than the nerdy guy in Handmaid May.
He's, oh my god.
If anybody in the world out there hasn't at least have an inkling of what Love Hina is about, it's basically about this guy who ends up living with like five hot chicks in a hotel type bathhouse spa. And he's just too big of a pussy to make a move on any of them. He doesn't get any ass the whole time. I think it takes like 30 episodes and into an OVA to finally even get a kiss from this guy.
You know the sexual frustration in a series based off of how much fan porn is made, and there is a shit ton
There's
of Love
tons
Hina
of
fan porn.
Yeah, but Naru and can
wow.
Keitaro. But Keitaro is not the one that I picked to be the guy that I would hate to be, because at least he gets to live. Spoiler. I am going to pick Makoto Ito from School Days. I know I may be the only person there who's seen School Days, and that is a god-awful anime. I don't care what anybody says, it's terrible. It's about this guy, Makoto, who basically has a girlfriend, and then he cheats on her with another girlfriend, with another girl, and then doesn't have the guts to tell the first girl, so he kind of strings them both along, and then in the end... This is a spoiler, so we normally don't do spoilers, so hold your ears or fast forward a couple minutes. And in the end, the girls go crazy fighting over him, and one of the girls cuts his head off.
Is that that messed up anime that What's-His-Face made you watch?
I don't remember which one of our lovely forum members it was that requested
me. Hang on a minute. This sounded like, right up until the head cutting off part, this sounded just like a kind of high school... drama type deal. How old are these characters?
They are high school, but this anime is truly disturbing. For example, one of the girls gets pregnant,
uh-huh.
and she starts going crazy because he decides that he can't handle it, so he's going to leave her even though he got her pregnant, and he's cheating. And then the other girl goes completely crazy, and then at the end, she kills the one girl who kills him, eventually kills the other girl, and then cuts open her stomach to prove that there's no baby in there or whatever. Literally. Cuts the womb open, and then basically saws his head off with a kitchen knife, and...
Oh my god!
Literally rides off into the sunset on a sailboat with it.
Man.
Well, I've got the munchies all of a sudden. He's getting the food.
he's a wimp and a loser, and
he dies horribly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want to be that dude either.
But yeah. he does get the punani in a way that Keitaro never will.
Yeah, but at least Keitaro has his head at the end of the day.
Well.
So, Hatsuke, who do you not want to be?
Who do I not to be? Okay, who do I not to be want?
Yes.
Yoda.
Yoda speak.
Ironically, the one person I wouldn't want to be is my favorite character of all time. And that's Yoite from Nobari no O. He's basically dying, like, every second of his life. He, like, vomits blood constantly, and his limbs are slowly dying, and he doesn't know who he really is. He doesn't have a gender. He's a pawn. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be him, but I adore him to bits. Is that a good enough reason?
Yeah, no, that is a good enough reason, because it's like, if your character doesn't die, if your character's suicidal, it's just as bad.
I just gotta say, this character, he looks so... What's that word I'm looking for?
Emo.
Emo, and...
He's not... Dude, well, he's not exactly emo, he's like angsty. He's
angsty is what I was looking for.
He's like, freaking dying.
Well, you think that'd be cause for him to be happy until he dies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Enjoy life.
The fact that everyone's using him for his power.
Yeah.
And that's nobody will tell him who he really is. So.
You don't get too many animes nowadays where people actually have, like, diseases and are dying.
Yeah, this one was depressing.
There are certain things in anime that just don't happen. Which is why I'm excited about the next season, because there is a zombie apocalypse anime. And that,
Yay!
To my knowledge, has never been done.
If you wow.
Can believe it.
Well, they've got to capitalize on the craze.
It just doesn't happen. And there's maybe like three, like, I can name maybe five animes that have people with like terminal diseases.
So, anime character that I don't want to be. I thought of a lot of really obvious ones, because there are a lot of really pathetic anime characters out there.
You do get creative points for this one.
But I was like, you know what? If I'm going to pick a character, I want to pick one that probably no one would think of, but it would really, really suck to be. And caution, there's a whole big spoiler alert in this. I'm not going to spoil the entire movie, but I'm going to spoil parts of the ending. So, spoiler alert! I would not want to be Turnip Head from Howl's Moving Castle. So you meet Turniphead, and he is a turnip with a stick and a jacket. And normally you think those three things together would make up to be for a fun evening, but no, that's all he is. And he hops around on his little pole, and because he's like a scarecrow almost, and he does his best in his scarecrow form to help Sophie, and really goes out of his way as a turnip on a stick to help her.
On a stick.
So after he does all these things, Sophie, in the very end, spoiler alert, kisses him to bring him back into a human.
So, cliche.
So not only does he spend the whole movie as a turnip, which is a very sad existence, when he's kissed and finds the girl of his dreams, guess what? She's in love with another man. And you know what they tell him? Well, that sucks. So then he has to go home. He is a prince, but then he has to hop home on his pole. They don't give him a ride in the Flying Castle. He hops home on his pole to go stop a war. That is his whole role in that movie. He is a turnip. He gets the short end of the deal. The woman of his dreams goes off, and you know what he's stuck with? Cleaning up the mess.
Well, in reality, there's probably a lot more to Turniphead, except that Howl's Moving Castle cuts out, like, 65% of the book, so.
Yes.
He was my favorite character.
The actual Turniphead in the book, there might be a lot more substance to, and it might be a character that you would want to be, but the Howl's Moving Castle rendition of Turniphead, I'm thinking he gets the really raw end of the deal, and I would not want to be Turniphead. Though I guess that there is a plus that he does get turned into a human at the end of the movie, so.
A very pretty one.
Yeah, he's pretty.
It's voiced by Crispin Freeman, I believe, actually.
For, like, two lines.
Yeah, I know, but it's the prettiest ever. I love Turniphead, I'm sorry.
No, I am not saying I dislike Turniphead. I think Turniphead's awesome. I just think he gets the short straw.
He does.
And that's why I wouldn't want to be him. So who would you want to be, Felix?
This is a tie for me. I didn't think about this nearly as much, but this is a tie between Yusaku Godai from Meison Ikkoku and just because, oh dear God, to have to live in that horrible, horrible house with all those insane people, and all you want to do is get a good night's sleep or pass your exams so you can get a job and get the hell out of that place, and you can't, because it's not just that the people living there are obnoxious, but they also don't want you to leave, so they go out of their way to make your life miserable. And then the girl of your dreams takes over as the landlord, and you keep embarrassing yourself, and they embarrass you in front of her. His life just sucks.
You want to know who else doesn't want him to leave? Rumiko Takahashi, for making all of her animes over 100 episodes.
Yep. Yep, she torments him for a long, long time.
You're in hell, and I like it.
Uh-huh. You know, same treatment with poor Ranma, you know, and just... okay, who's got the bucket of water now? And who's going to make my day miserable now for 130 episodes? All
right. Wait, she also made Inuyasha, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The right
and,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And Shippo, because poor Shippo has to watch Inuyasha and Kagome practically get it on the whole show.
She's all about the unrequited romance and the torment, you know, yeah. and making a joke out of the comedy. The other one is Tamahome in Fushigi Yugi. Just because you have to deal with
Miyaka
forever. Forever. Tamahome. Forever.
Tamahome, I'm gonna wander away and get captured. Could you save me for the 10th time?
Again. And he has tolerance for her and obviously he loves her, but man. Yeah, no. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I would take away all of her snacks and I would starve her to death.
No soup for you.
No soup for you.
One year.
And yeah. Tape the mouth shut. The scene in the abyss. I've been wanting to do this for a long, long time.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
So, yeah. Those are my choices.
If we've learned anything, there are a lot of really cool anime characters out there, and there are a lot of really... And I don't want to say bad, but anime characters that you would not want to trade places with. But if you have thoughts, I hope you have thoughts.
If you have a character you would want to be, or a character you wouldn't want to be, or if you think we missed out on one of the best characters ever, feel free to stop by our forums, and we'll have a segment for this episode up under the episode section, and stop by, say hi, and let us know what you would and would not want to be. But for now, we're going to take another quick anime news break, and then when we come back, we're going to have some reviews from last season, and we'll wrap up this episode.
Welcome to your second segment of anime news. First up, it seems that Evangelion's reign of terror over Blu-ray sales has finally ended after 4 weeks. Evangelion 2.22 sold more than 6,000 copies last week, however, it dropped to number 4 on the weekly chart. Oricon Communications reports that the first Blu-ray disc volume of Angel Beats, the television anime series, sold 23,000 copies this last week and is the first number one listing on the chart since Evangelion. While this may be true, it is also true that Evangelion still holds the overall record for most Blu-ray copies sold in Japan at nearly 500,000. Now, unfortunately, we have a sad bit of anime news. Voice actor Takeshi Aono, 74 years old, has been hospitalized after a stroke that he suffered after surgery for an aortic aneurysm. As a result, the 55-year-old Ben Shimada will have to substitute for him as the title character in the series Chibi Maruko-chan. Aono also plays Kami-sama and Mihawk Juraquil on the Fuji TV anime series Dragon Ball Kai and One Piece. Fuji TV is looking to be recasting those roles as well. So our hearts go out to Aono, and he will hope that he's okay. Well, it seems that just like video games, anime and manga are being blamed for the killing of innocent youths. The police in Seoul have accused a gang of 5 teenage dropouts of killing a fellow 15-year-old member of their gang. And allegedly, one of the members had suggested that they drain the blood out of the body of the victim to make the disposal easier. And apparently the suspect saw this on the anime Detective Conan, also known as Case Closed. According to the police, the gang kidnapped the victim, Kim Jung, and held her captive for 4 days before finally killing her. Two English reports have described the blood-draining source of inspiration as being from the manga, which is false, but Korean reports say that the source was the Detective Conan anime, which one of the gang members had seen in junior high school. Also, ironically enough, the British website Metro included an image of an unrelated Higurashi no Naku Koto ni manga in its article, which is completely unrelated. Well, that's it for our anime news for this week. You can look forward to more next week.
And we're back, and we're just going to roll right into the last bit of this episode. And first up is Mitsugi reviewing Ikitosen Extreme Executor.
Oh my god.
Enjoy.
So, Ikitosen Extreme Executor, hates having to say it because it sounds so stupid, but that's how it is.
I don't know, it might not be as stupid as Legend of the Legendary Heroes.
Legend of the Legendary Heroes is a new anime coming out.
Under redundant in the dictionary, it says C redundant?
Yeah. But you know that any anime that has a title where they spell extreme, X-T-R-E-M-E, you're in for something special. This anime just came out this season. It was actually the first one to start, so it's the first one to end. And it's the direct follow-up of Ikitosen Great Guardians, which is the direct follow-up of Ikitosen Dragon Destiny, which is the direct follow-up of Ikitosen.
Oh my god.
That makes sense.
It has all the same characters in it. It's got Hakufu, Kokin, Ryomo, all the girls who have, you know, size double D breasts and who wear very weak and poorly made clothing.
They wear tissue paper in the form of clothing.
That's not why you picked this one to review, is it?
No.
I didn't think so.
I had already seen Ikitosen and Ikitosen Dragon Destiny, so I was like, well, since we've tried to cover most of them, We never really get to all of them, but we get to, like, 90%.
Okay.
I seem like the best candidate for this one. And I took all the sports anime, and that's what I'm the biggest on.
Okay.
So I've been pretty satisfied this season. But Ikitosen Extreme Executor is basically, it's about this guy named Kentei, who is like a historical figure. They actually do focus more on the historical figure stuff in this season than in previous seasons. If you don't know, the Ikitosen, all the characters are supposed to be like the reincarnation of like Romance of the Three Kingdom Warriors.
I read that on the Wikipedia.
So they actually do talk about that more. It's still not enough to really make you give a damn. But they're like, oh, these two characters have like a, they were fated rivals in the past, and one killed the other, so they have to fight in like the present. And
that's great.
That's fine. But it's about Kentei, who is a guy that hates all fighters. He wants to see all of them die, and which is basically every single character in the show. And so he sets up this fake like world tournament thing where where people from each school has to send like a representative, and the schools are supposed to embody like the actual kingdoms.
Yes.
But there's more than three of them in the anime. There's like, I don't know, five or six. So they all send representatives, and they all go to compete. It's kind of like, it felt like Mortal Kombat, the movie.
I was about to say, hi Shang Tsung, how you doing?
Exactly. Yeah. Go to like the island, and on the way, they get ambushed in their boat, and they get captured, and they get split up.
I hate when that happens.
And they basically, the whole anime is them trying to get uncaptured and fight and defeat Kentei, and that's the anime. There is a new character in the anime. Her name is Bacho, and they call her Bachin, because that's just Japanese for you. And she wants revenge for her brother, who was killed by Soul Soul, who is a character that's barely in the show at all, if at all. Just to give you an idea of some of the dumb shit that this anime does, Bacho is being trained by Hakufu, who is basically the main character from all the shows. She's the chick with the red hair, and she's the strongest one out of all of them, too.
Okay.
She also has the biggest breasts, I think.
Just from that picture, it's like, huh. Yeah.
Backaches? If I type Ikitosen in on Google and bring up the pictures, all you're going to get is porn. I guarantee it.
Awesome.
The anime itself is softcore porn.
It is.
There's so much titties in that anime.
But I'll get to that in a second, I need to finish my point.
I'm sorry.
The stupid shit that they do, Hakufu's training her, and she whips up, like, this giant robot. It looked like the robot from Chrono Trigger in the carnival in the beginning. It has, the spring boxing gloves and stuff, and they're training with that, and it's just the dumbest shit. That's right at the beginning, so if you stopped watching this anime forever at that point, I wouldn't blame you. But yes, as I mentioned it before, this is the kind of anime where there'll be two girls fighting, and one girl will punch the other girl really hard, and even if it's not like in the chest or on the body, even if it's in the face, clothing explodes, and there's like tits hanging out everywhere.
Fan service!
It's
beyond fan service.
Yeah. And did we decide that there was a vagina shots later? I remember I was debating
it.
It was very close.
It was something. It wasn't. I'm saying there's. It's not a hentai, but it's ecchi. It's definitely near the realm of hentai. All of the old characters are in the show except for Ryofu, who is not even in the picture on AnimeNewsNetwork.com. But she's the hot chick with like the green hair and the pigtails. She's probably the hottest out of all of them. But she dies, apparently, in the last season. I don't know why they'd kill her off. But there is absolutely no reason at all to watch Ikitosen Extreme Executor. Not only is it...
Tell us how you really feel.
It's just...
Don't hold anything back.
It's just not as good as the first... Like, alright. To be fair, none of them are very good, okay? But it's definitely not as good as any of the other seasons. So if you haven't watched any of them, go back, and you feel like you absolutely have to out of some, I don't know, some...
Masochistic need?
Maybe you lost a bet or something. Then go back and watch the first season or the second season. And if you've watched all three of the seasons before this one, then you're probably going to watch this one anyway, so there's no point in my trying to convince you not to. There's not much plot to it. They just go to the island, and they take on Kentei. And he's a major disappointment because Sonsaku defeats him in, like... I was literally like I had two laptops running and I was doing something on one of them. I was just like maybe texting somebody on Instant Messenger. And I looked back and he was defeated. It took like a matter of seconds and he was gone. So you wait the whole show for this mysterious guy wearing a mask to, actually, I think it ends up being a woman, to, you know, have this knockdown, drag-out fight with Hakufu Sonsaku, because you know that's who it's going to be fighting him. And she kills him in, like, 2 seconds. She doesn't kill him. She defeats him, and he kind of vanishes. But I'm going to give this anime it, and it might as well be a hentai out of 5, because it would get lower than a 2.
Maybe, wow.
So maybe lower than a... It would probably get around a 1, so it might as well be a hentai.
That's cold.
I mean, it's basically hentai anyway. It begs for it. So all they need is for, like, a couple enemies on the island to have, like, tentacles sprout out of them. And then that'd be it, that you have a hentai. You could, like, all the female characters are visually appealing, so you could just tentacle rape all of them, and then you'd have hentai.
And then it would be a party.
It would be a lot better then.
If you're gonna do something, go all the way with it. You know, why do it half-assed, I suppose?
They want to sell, like, naked figurines and stuff.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen those, but they're out there.
I'm sure I have and didn't recognize what they were, except, look.
Anyway, but Hatake has an anime for us that also finished. It's been running for 2 seasons, and I know this one's better.
Yeah, it is.
And Hatake is going to ooze all over this one, so enjoy this review.
Ooze?
Ooze.
That's a terrible word.
He's not.
Gush.
You're going to gush.
I can gush over it. That is a much more pleasing word.
It is?
Yes.
All right, so I'm sorry.
Okay, so I am reviewing Dudarara, and it just finished this weekend, and I was very sad to see that it was over. Dudarara is of the action, comedy, psychological, romance, and supernatural genres, which is a party.
Yeah. That's juggling a lot of things. Okay.
They do. They cram a lot into the series. It's from the makers of Bakano, so you can't really go wrong. Takahiro Omori was the director of the series. So, good stuff, definitely. It started airing in January of 2010. It's 24 episodes, and it's awesome. But I'm not biased at all. I suck at coming up with summaries, so I'm just going to read the one on Anime News Network, because they're the best. Okay. Ryuga Mine Mikado is a boy who longs for the exciting life of the big city. At the invitation of his childhood friend Masaomi Kida, he transfers to a school in Ikebukuro. Masaomi had warned him about people he doesn't want to cross in the city, a champion fighter, an informant, and a mysterious gang called the Dollars. Nervous from Masaomi's stories, Mikado witnesses an urban legend on his first day in the city, the Headless Rider astride a black motorcycle. From then on, the existence of supernatural cases and a gang called the Yellow Scarves will rise to the surface, and Ikebukuro will be pushed to the breaking point. It's a pretty addictive plot, but as the series came to a closing, I began to realize that there were quite a few holes that the anime didn't fill. Lucky for me, I had pieced things together with the help of some spoilers from the light novels that I'd found around the internet. It really does help, but it doesn't quite make the experience complete to someone who hasn't read the novels first. Okay, the characters. Dudarara is a lot like Bakano in the sense that there's an obnoxiously large cast of characters, and there's, like, one or two people who are the glue that hold them together. As mentioned before in the summary, there are people in the series that are far from ordinary, such as the strongest man in the city, the Slasher, and was that a headless chick in a leather catsuit on a motorcycle that just neighed?
Not a headless cat girl.
Oh, the horror.
She's not a cat girl. She just has cat ears on her helmet. Thank God. To contrast these unusual individuals, the main character is, well, rather plain and ordinary. But don't fret. He's not such a bad guy. He really grew on me throughout the series. And his character's song is so cute. I'm just going to plug that right now because it's adorable. Okay.
Can we talk just for a second? Can I ask you about this Yellow Scarves gang? Because that doesn't sound very intimidating to me. Or Yellow Tartans, or however it's...
Actually, I wanted to ask, because the Yellow Turbans are a historical figure, a historical group from the Romance of the Three Kingdoms era of China.
Okay.
So they get crushed. They uprise in a rebellion and get crushed. But... is there any other, like, reference to Chinese lore?
I mean, not that I'm aware of, but that is a very good point.
It maybe says, this whole anime is about Chinese lore.
Maybe it is. Maybe I'm just too dumb to realize it. I don't know.
So I know I'm up on my Chinese lore and history, and I recognize the reference right away, but not everybody's going to be that well-versed. It's okay.
No one's judging me. Okay. All right, I'm going to... the characters, it's a pretty character-driven anime, although the plot is very strong. Characters are awesome. All right, the music, as I'm a music buff. The music's by Yoshimori Makoto, so really enough said there, in a good way. But really, it's pretty much as good as the music from Bakano, because it's the same composer, just a different sort of genre, like a little bit more experimental and modern. It's really catchy. I know back before the soundtrack came out, everybody was like counting down the days until somebody uploaded it. And everybody was like frenzying to find everyone who uploaded it on YouTube, and it was crazy. It was a fun week. The openings and endings are also like really incredible. You'll be singing them for days or weeks or even months, maybe. Kimiko and I both chipped in and ordered the second OP single CD from Japan, so that's kind of a factor there.
Oh my god, yeah. That's been so expensive. CDs from Japan are like ridiculous.
I know. Yeah, that's why we chipped in. It was good. It's a really good CD. Overall, I mean, I'm not gonna go and be like, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. It's a really good series. You should watch it. I definitely think it's probably one of the best from last season. Especially for those who liked or even loved Bakano. Did I say that already? Because it's true. Okay. And I guess I'll rate it now. So because of the plot holes in the series, they were rather annoying, but the rest of it was so worth it. I'd probably give this series 4 out of 5 Headless Riders, even though there's only one.
That's a hell of a lot better than a 1.
Yeah.
Out of 5.
Yeah.
I wasn't briefed on the Headless Rider scale and how exactly it looks. Okay, cool.
Alright, so I'm going to keep rolling with our last review and finishing up another one from last season, and that is Angel Beats. And I know, at least on our forums, Angel Beats had a lot of discussion and excitement. Angel Beats is a key animation studio, anime, which is the studio that brought us animes such as Clannad and Air. A fantastic studio, if you ask me.
I love that.
The opening theme is again done by Leah, who the studio has worked with a lot. And of course, it's in its key style, so the animation is gorgeous. The qualities are very good. The colors are crisp. They really have their own style that I think is really fantastic. It's easy on the eye, and I don't think anyone will not like the style. It's generic enough that it appeals to everyone, but it's so well done that it doesn't feel generic. The story was, and I'm going to get back to why I'm mentioning this. The story was written by a guy named Jun Maeda, and Jun Maeda has done a number of things with Key Visual Studio. He's also done a few other things, but the only other time he's written a story was for a manga. So keep that in mind as I continue onward. So the story of Angel Beats is, and I'm going to try to give this as best I can without spoilers, of course, as we always try to do. You have the main character is Otonashi. And Otonashi wakes up in this world, and he's greeted by Yuri, or Yoripe, it's her nickname sometimes, and he's greeted by Yuri, and the first thing she informs him of is that he's dead. And he's like, you know, what? Of course, you wake up in a strange place, and the first thing someone tells you is that you're dead, you're going to be a bit disoriented. So he goes, she's holding a gun, and a sniper rifle, and she's sniping this girl down on a field, and she says, that's Angel, she's our enemy. And he's like, Angel, this is ridiculous. So he goes down, and he greets this girl who they call Angel, or Tenchi, and he says, there's a girl up there pointing a gun at you. And she's kind of like, eh, okay. And then he asks her if it's true that in this world they can't die, because that was another thing that Yuri informed him, since they were already dead, you can't die. And so she proceeds to, she calls it, like, Angel Sonic, and she summons essentially a knife above her hand. It almost looks like the FMA knife, to be honest, that Ed fights with. And so she summons that from her hand, and she proceeds to stab him directly in the chest. He wakes up, like, a day later, and he finds out that this is indeed a world of people who have died. And they all have lives that have been terribly sad. Like, this is kind of a mini spoiler. You find it out really early on, though. Like, Yuri, for example, she was part of a wealthy family, and she had three younger siblings. Burglars broke into the house, and they ransacked the house trying to find anything of value. But her parents didn't really keep anything of value in the house. So they singled her out and they said, you're the eldest. You must know where the parents keep all the money and things like that. So you're going to go and you're going to find us all the valuable things your parents have hid. And she's like, they don't have anything valuable. I don't know of anything like that. And they said, you're going to do it because every 10 minutes we're going to kill one of your siblings. And so...
It's pretty extreme.
And so... She goes 30 minutes with her frantically looking around the house with her siblings, you know, dying in front of her because she can't find anything of value. And she ends up dying in that situation, unable to save her siblings. And the police, of course, arrive 45 minutes later. So that's kind of the really, really, like, very sad, and at the same time, like, your heart goes out to these characters' stories that you find with each of the characters. And so Yuri, because of her past and because she exists in kind of this strange world, let's say, she has decided to fight against God. And the rules of the world are that you have to act as a normal high school student. And if you act as a normal high school student, eventually what happens are the people with souls disappear. And it's set up to look like a real high school, like there are there are people walking around, and they call them the NPCs, which, for anyone not familiar with video game terminology, mm-hmm. non-player characters. And so it's essentially this really big illusion that this place has been set up for them, and you don't really know what it exists. You kind of assume that God set it up. I view it as a take on purgatory.
Yeah, I was about to say that's what it makes sense as, and I think a lot of people would say that high school is kind of a purgatory that we all have to get through in order to move on with the rest of our lives. So move on to the next afterlife. It makes sense.
You said that they rebel against God, but is God actually in the show?
God is not actually in the show. It starts off where you have Tenchi, the angel, and you kind of. She set up that you start out thinking that she is an agent of the world, like she is like the keeper of the world, where she's trying to make everyone disappear, and so everyone doesn't want to disappear, because Yuri doesn't want to be one of the normal students and then disappear, because she's like, well, I don't want to accept my past life, because my past life was so unjust that no God could ever have bestowed that upon anyone. So that's, you know, she rebels against God. And
so could you say that Tenchi's actually a good character, and that she's trying to help people move on and actually go to heaven instead of sitting in purgatory?
I don't want to ruin it, honestly, because as it unfolds, it unfolds really nicely. And you find out more about Tenchi as the series goes on. But I'll just say, for the first, I don't know, 8 or 9 episodes, you kind of develop your own opinions about Tenchi.
Okay.
And then it'll start unfolding, and I don't want to spoil it.
So there's complexity. So there really is, it's very difficult to pigeonhole these characters.
You're
tempted to do so at the start, but then you realize there's more to this. And from what you're describing, it's very deep and thought-provoking.
It is. And the problem that this series runs into is that even though it has this really, I do like animes that are kind of that thought on purgatory or that in-between stage. I do like animes that talk about that, and it is very well done. But the problem is that there's a lot of points in the story where there's kind of this
Deus Ex Machina, or the God from the Machine, which for anyone not familiar is when, you know, you have a plot point that you're simply really just going to accept that that's the way it is to save the story. And so there's points in the story where if you really stop and think about it, you're like, that doesn't really make any sense. Mm-hmm. Or what? Like, there's this thing in the story called Guild, and that's who makes all their weapons, and they make weapons from mud. And it's just kind of like, oh, it's a different world. Just go with it. So there is a lot of that in the series, and the ending, it's a 13-episode series, and the ending does feel a bit rushed, I'd say. A lot of people on the forums, I was reading what other people thought, and a lot of people on the forums were calling for longer a longer series. And while I think a longer series would have made things feel less rushed, I don't think that there was enough thought put into this series that into the guts of the story and the technical aspects of the story that it could have sustained a 24 episode long season. That being said, the characters you bond with so well, the characters are hysterical. They do ridiculous things, but because it's, even though there's Deus Ex Machinas, you kind of want to go with it because it's so ridiculous and it's so much fun and it is well done. And I really had a good time watching it. So even though there are a lot of technical flaws to it, it was one of the first animes in a long time that I've been like, oh my god, I love these characters. And and that takes a lot to make characters that you either empathize with or you care about or whatever. So I think overall, I'm going to give this anime a 4 battlefields out of 5. Because yes, I do agree that the plot holes in the stories are major, and that's why it's not a 5 out of 5. Everything else is fantastic. The characters are fantastic. The music is really good. The production values are very high. And the story, it really is an interesting story. And the ending is good, I thought. It was just rushed. So take it for what it is. I give it a 4 out of 5. I can see if people would give it lower or higher than that.
Well, I didn't watch it, but I will also say that the whole concept of rebelling against God isn't exactly new.
Yeah.
I mean, they even do it in video games. It's been done to death. And did you mention the funny English character at all?
Oh, no, I didn't. I will make one more mention then of the series. There's a lot of characters in it because it's like all these people that join together to fight under Yuri's cause, and they don't want to disappear either, kind of thing. And they're a hodgepodge of people, and they're a lot of fun because they all have a different dynamic. But there's this one character, and I guess he's supposed to be American, I guess. But it's like all he does is he walks around and he, like, dances, and he'll be like, he'll be shooting things, and he'll be like, kiss you. And he'll be like, moonwalk, moonwalk, headspin. And that's, he just says random English words, but it's so funny because knowing the context of what you're watching, coming from Japan and things like that, it is hysterical. Because it's like you have this very serious moment, and he's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another good one, but he's just like, he's just ridiculous.
It kind of makes you wonder if maybe that's Japan's impression of what Americans are like.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, while you were talking, Mitsugi was bringing up certain images from the series, apparently, screen captures. But there was one that where the two characters were on the balcony, and you could see the school below. It's gorgeous. That kind of production value alone would make me, yes, that's the image. I would want to watch just to see that and what scene is going on here. The shadows, the light and dark, the expressions on the characters' faces. It looks just like something that is going to grab you and hold on.
Yeah, and Key produced it, and that's really, that is Key's style. It's a little different than some of their other things, but that's just their color palette, their everything. That's Key.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The way the sky is done, the cloud cover, landscape in the distance, everything is just absolutely gorgeous. I'm very impressed by that. So if out of the three that you guys have talked about tonight, that would probably be the one that I'd want to check out for sure.
Awesome. Well, we had one sucky anime, but at least two good ones. Mm-hmm. We're going to say thank you again to Felix for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I had a great time.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Be sure to give a listen to Primetime Geek. They're friends of the AAA.
I made a friend.
We have links on our friend page and on our top page.
Can I give a shout out right now?
Yeah.
There's another podcast and I like them a lot.
There's someone else?
Yeah. Well, no, there's
Thank God.
No, I told them I'd plug them because they're really sweet people and they're amusing and they cover the dub industry and stuff, so. And it's That Anime Show.
Okay.
So find them on Facebook because they're really sweet and they deserve love.
Awesome. Love is
I'll be talking about them a little bit more in the future, but for now.
So you can find us at AAApodcast.com. We're on iTunes, Facebook. We're on the addnetwork.net, and we're on nerdnexus.com. If you search for Anime Addicts Anonymous or AAA Podcast on any of those, one of those should bring us up. Thank you guys so much for listening with us on this episode. Thank you again, Felix. And taking us out is going to be Blue Thread by Rayflower from the anime Uragiri wa Boku no Namae wa Oshiteru. So... thanks, guys. See you next time.
Good night, everybody. Kimi no ibasho mitsukaru sona hi wa kuru da ro ka.